Have your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. And before I read the scriptures, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, in the precious, blessed name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we come in our heart of hearts before you, who has all strength and all power and all glory, all might, who is our shield and our buckler, that hides us under the shadow of his wing, bears us up on even the wings of an eagle. Lord, we need you to bear us up. Need you to be our stay, to be our strength, to be our all in all. And Lord Jesus, we pray for those among us who are in a great fight of afflictions, whether it's in their home, whether it's in their heart, whether it's with a child or whether it's with a husband or wife. Oh Lord, there's your people have so much to go through in this life, and ask that you'd be pleased to bless them, to encourage them, to strengthen them, meet the need of their home, meet the need of their heart, meet the need of those in need of salvation that they pray for so much, like we pray for our children and grandchildren. Lord, that you would have mercy on them and give them trouble, cause them to have trouble, stir up their nest, break them down, tear every prop out from under them, to where they have absolutely nowhere to go but to you. And Lord, we met here to worship, met to preach, to pray, and to sing. Bring glory to yourself in all these things that we do tonight, for Christ's sake. Amen. Go read three verses of scripture this evening here in 1 Corinthians 14:6. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, and even things without life giving sound, even things without life-giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Back here in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul, and I'm going, my message is proclaiming Christ. But now the apostle says here, now brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, I speak in a language that you don't understand. He said, what shall it profit you? Unless I preach to you by a revelation, that Christ gives me a revelation. Or I preach to you by knowledge, by what I know, or by prophesying or preaching or by doctrine. What will it profit you if I don't speak by revelation or by the knowledge taught of God or by the preaching or by doctrine? Because he says even things that don't have life, things that don't even possess life, they give sounds. Whether it's a flute or whether it's a harp, they give a distinction in the sounds. They've got tunes to them. They've got keys that they use. And how shall it be known what is piped or harp if they don't give the right sound? If they're not in tune, if they're not used by somebody that knows what they're doing. And then he says that's what he means if the trumpet give an uncertain sound. Just blow the trumpet just for the sake of sounding the trumpet because you can make a screeching noise out of it. They said that ain't going to do anybody any good. It's got to be in tune. got to have the right keys. It's got to have the right tune. And that's what he says. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? And I want to use these verses here, especially this part. If the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? One of the words for preach, the word preach in the New Testament, is the word herald or proclaim. They went everywhere proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ. They went everywhere preaching the Lord Jesus Christ, proclaiming him, even those who weren't even preachers. And a herald who comes and proclaims something, he has different tasks. He has different things that he does. A herald, one of the first things he's called to do is to call together an assembly when announcements needs to be made. You know, a herald calls together an assembly and some of the great announcements going to be made. Get everybody's attention. And sometimes a herald, someone who heralds something, acted as an intermediary between opposing armies. And what they would do, go between these opposing armies, this herald, and go tell one army here what the other army said, and said the terms of surrender. This is the terms of surrender. This is what this one said, and this is what you need to understand. So they would take back the reply back and forth between the armies. And so to preach Christ, to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, to herald Christ, that's what it is to preach Christ, is to herald him, is to proclaim him. Heralds nowadays are used for a ceremonial occasion. You all see them yourself. You've seen them on TV and seen them in these big ceremonies that people put on. Heralds are used to today on ceremonial occasions to announce a dignitary. You know, so-and-so just walked in. You know, this person, even in a court of law, the bailiff stands up before the court, the judge comes in, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All that's got a thing before this court, you know, let him stand forth. So they have a herald. And they announce a dignitary. Sometimes they even blow a trumpet. And what it does is silence everybody and drives all eyes to that person that's coming in, that dignitary that's coming in. And that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. We herald his appearance. We proclaim his appearance. We want every eye. We sound that trumpet. Sound that proclamation. Herald out that the Lord Jesus Christ has come and his appearance that into this world, and we want every eye to take off ourselves, take away from everything else, and see him. And that's why we have the trumpet and give this sound. And I tell you what, look over in Isaiah 40. We want to draw all attention to him. We want all attention to be drawn to our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you something about a herald. He doesn't invite people to a discussion. He doesn't invite them to a forum or to debate. He proclaims something. He heralds something. He stands up and speaks with some authority. But in Isaiah 40, look with me here in Isaiah 40 and verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, what? Proclaim, herald, behold your God. That's the thing. Look, there's your God. Well, listen. And then he says, I'm going to tell you what he's like. Behold the Lord God. He's coming with a strong hand. His arm's going to rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work goes before him. And listen to what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do. He's going to feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arms, carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those with the young. Now, to tell us something about him that does all these things, this is the God, he says, behold him who hath going to do all this for you, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. That'll get your attention, somebody talk like that, won't it? Get up into a high mountain and tell it. Tell it. Tell the one's going to do this. And oh, the herald's function is to announce that a great person of authority, of great rank, stands before those that are gathered. And who among us, who is any greater or more rank, more power, more authority, with greater dignity than our Lord Jesus Christ? Who has more power? Who has more might? Who has more glory? Who has more authority? Who has a higher rank than his blessed person? And one purpose to herald and proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ is make all to look upon him and all to look upon his work. Look upon his work. You see, beloved, it's who did the work that makes the work worth anything. It's the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all's made. John said it this way. He said, when the Lord Jesus Christ, and they come to him and tried to get him to say some things, he said, all know this. This is what I know. That he must increase. He's got to increase. He's going to increase before man. He's going to increase before our hearts. He's got to increase before our understanding. He's got to increase before our faith. He must increase in everything. And he does. He keeps increasing in our minds, in our hearts, in our emotions, in our affections, in our understanding. John said, he must increase. And you know what I got to do? I got to just get less and less and less. And the more we see him, the less we see of ourselves. And the more we won't have anything to do with ourselves. And that's why Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And God, keep us preachers. Keep us preachers from promoting ourselves in any way, shape, form, or fashion. And that's what he said here in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 14. What if the trumpet makes uncertain sounds? Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Well, I think I'll tell you what it means. If it gives an uncertain sound and it ain't in tune and it ain't got a tune to it and it ain't, you know, there's two things that they done in the Marine Corps when I was on the base. Now, when I got in Vietnam, this didn't happen at all. But every morning you had reveille. I mean, they start blowing that trumpet, and that means that you get up and get at it. And every night they would blow taps. Time to stop. And you know exactly what both those things was. Get up, get down. Get busy, stop. Now, what he's saying here is, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, what does that mean? Are we going to have yea and nay preaching? Yea and nay preaching? What is yea and nay preaching? Yea and nay preaching, it says that salvation's made possible, but it's not made sure. That God opened the door for you, but now it's up to you to walk through the door. That salvation's made possible. And this is one of the things that men compromise with, and I called a preacher on this several years ago. He said this, and I said, this is heresy, and it'll lead people astray. What they would say, and they think they're honoring God by this, but listen to me. They say his death is sufficient for all, but only efficient for the elect. Now, wait a minute. If his death is sufficient for every man, why ain't it efficient for every man? What they're doing is taking a little bite, a little thing out of the gospel. And to say that the death of Christ is sufficient for all, that's to make everybody feel good. And that takes the sting out of the gospel. It takes the power out of the gospel. When the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, I lay down my life not for everybody, but for the sheep. He said, I have other people that sheep that are not this fold, and I must bring them. So we're not going to preach yea and nay, sufficient and efficient. I mean, the same Christ who died is going to save his people. That's why we preach the gospel. That's why we proclaim Christ. That's why we herald Christ. Because that's who he uses to save his people. We can't give an uncertain sound about it. Huh? And I tell you that people have a fear of man. Look over here in Galatians, over to your right. And I tell you, this business of being afraid of a man, I tell you what, I fear God more than I fear man. I understand there's a time to say something, there's a time not to say something. There's a time you don't feed that which is holy to the dogs, and you don't cast your pearls and hogs trample them under your feet. But look what he said here in Galatians 1:10. Do I now persuade men or God? Now what he's saying is, am I persuading men or am I persuading God? What are we going to persuade God to do? Does God need persuading to do anything? We going to change his mind? We going to change his will? We going to change his purpose? We going to change his gospel? Or do we persuade men? Of course we persuade men. And yet if I seek to please men, because I'm persuading men, if I seek to please men, for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If I sought my message and changed it and toned it down and preached the gospel in such a way and preached Christ in such a way that I was afraid of man and I was trying to please man and trying to make people happy, and I had a group in the church that had all the money and had all the power and could change you and move you in and out, then men get afraid. I was talking to my son-in-law's mother and father-in-law the other night. We had dinner with them. And we was talking about how long I'd been here, and they says, man, we can't get a preacher to stay over a year. 18 months at the most. And they pay them fellas big money, you know, but they just hit the high spots to get to the higher money. But I'm telling you something, beloved. The fear of man brings a snare. And you fear man, you're going to get in a snare. And I'm telling you, that's what he says here. If we give an uncertain sound, if we're afraid of man, if we're afraid to speak clearly and plainly, so we don't offend people by truths that abase man and turn his pride and puts it in the ground and say that God uses the gospel to stain the pride of man. If we refuse to do that and fail to exalt the sovereignty of God, then ought to get in some other business. Ought to do something else. Edgar Andrews, I don't know how many of y'all know him. I've got two or three books in there by him. He's a professor of some big, famous professor in England and pastor of church, wrote several books. Very brilliant man. But anyway, he read a manuscript. And this author said, if a pastor goes to a new church not to teach the doctrine of grace for about 2 years, if you did, people would reject him and leave. You know, that's foreign to our way of thinking. We can't get our mind around that. Huh? Oh my. People get upset and leave, reject the truth and leave, reject the only message that God will use to save them and leave, to reject the Christ of the Bible and leave, to reject God's sovereignty and leave, to reject their sinful nature and say, I'm not as sinful as they say I am, and leave. Oh, listen, if a man leaves over the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ and the proclamation of Christ, don't let the door hit him on the way out. That's the way I feel about it. There's no, if you would tone down the gospel for anybody under any circumstances on the top side of God's earth, you ought to quit preaching right immediately. I believe that. I've seen too many men pay the price. Scott Richardson, for one. Man up there, they wouldn't even mow his grave at the graveyard. His family's grave, because they hated his gospel. didn't like the gospel he was preaching. Do you think he's scared about it? Oh, our task is heralds. We got to give a certain sound. Not to please men, but to preach Christ, to make Christ known. That's why Paul said, told Timothy, do it with all patience and doctrine. Patience and doctrine. Oh my. And proclaiming Christ, listen to me a minute here. Proclaiming Christ, we must relate everything to him. Everything to him. Everything must be related to Christ. And we must, even in our thinking and that, we must relate all to him. Every message, if it don't contain Christ our Lord, every lesson that we learn out in the world, ask ourselves, what does it teach me about the Lord Jesus Christ? What will this teach the hearers that we're preaching? What will it teach the hearers about the Lord Jesus Christ? And here's the first question. Will we preach the Lord Jesus in such a way and teach a lesson in such a way that they'll see, first thing they'll do is see their need of him? Will they see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ when we preach him in such a way and man in such a way before him that they need the Lord Jesus Christ? That they need him? I heard a preacher say today, one of the things that encouraged him was is that he was a sinner. And he says, now I don't mean to tell you that I'm proud of being a sinner. I hate it that I am a sinner, but I am encouraged that God made me a sinner. That I know what I am. That I know that in me there dwells no good thing, in my flesh dwells no good thing. That I have no strength, I have no ability, I can do nothing to save myself, I can do nothing to keep myself saved. I know from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, if God don't save me, there's no saving. So that encourages me that God taught me that I'm a sinner, and when he does that, you know what you do? You need Christ. You got to have Christ. Give me Christ or else I die. And that's what happens. And oh, beloved, we relate his blessed person. We sung it tonight, Son of God and Son of Man. His person was God. He walked among people. It was God walking among people. It was God who raised the dead. It was God who walked on the water. It was God who gave the lepers, cleansed the lepers. And it, God was in the man and person of a man in Jesus Christ who lived on this earth. And God spoke through him and worked through him and glorified himself through him. And oh, and talk about his redemption. Oh, that he paid the price. And the price was not, it was not anything that we could pay, but he paid the redemption price with his own blood. Justified freely by his blood. Oh my. Talk about his grace. Grace poured forth from his lips. Full of grace and full of truth. Talk about his love. Oh my. Can you imagine the love of our Lord Jesus Christ? I ain't got over it yet. I don't even love myself most of the time. Can't hardly stand myself most of the time. And yet Christ loves me. Do y'all ever feel that experience? That you can't hardly bear yourself? And yet the Lord Jesus Christ loves you when you can't even love yourself? And oh, the compassion he shows. The example our Lord gave us. Oh, listen. Oh, relate all to him. When you see the sun come up, the Son of Righteousness arrives with healing in his way. See the evening star, he's the bright morning star. See a lily come up, you say, that's the lily of the valley. You see these roses, Sharon's blooming in our yards in the summertime, we say he's the rose of Sharon. Oh, how soon in our message are we to mention him? How soon? Well, as quick as we can get there. Just as quick as we can get there. How do we relate him in our everyday living? Well, I'll tell you how we do it. He is our life. He is our life. He's not the, people say, boy, I tell you, you need to make Christ the most important. You need to make worship with Christ. You need to relate to Christ this, and you need to be dedicated here and there. I tell you what, beloved, if Christ is your life, then you live by him, you move by him, you have being by him, and he's never, I'm going to tell you this, and I know this is so, and you'll agree with me, our Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ is never out of our thoughts very, very long at a time, throughout a day. He's not far out of our mind, very few, just not very long during the day. I don't care what situation we're in, who we're with, and what's going on. Our mind keeps running back to Christ. Our mind keeps calling on Christ. Our mind keeps looking to him. Our mind and heart and soul keeps looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he's our life. And oh, how do we relate him to our worship? He's the one we gather to worship and to praise. We sang praises to him. Every song tonight talked about him. He's the one we gather deep. Oh, how the deep, deep love of Jesus. Fairest, oh Lord Jesus, fairest of... Oh, listen, he's the one we gather to worship and praise. How do we relate him to history? I'll tell you how we relate him to history. Everything that happened up to this point of time is his story. That's everything that's happened to this point of time. History is what he's already accomplished up to this point in time. You go back in history, and it's just Christ and God carrying out his will in this world. He uses men, he uses kingdom, he uses people, he uses weather, he uses a thousand things in this world, but it's his story. Huh? Why'd that happen? The Lord did it. The Lord did it. And oh, beloved, I tell you, how to relate him to his church, his body. The church is the fullness of him who fills all in all. And when it comes to proclaiming Christ, that's why Paul said in verse 6 here, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, it ain't going to profit nobody nothing. If I'm going to preach to you, I'm going to speak to you by revelation. I won't speak to you by knowledge. I won't speak to you by preaching. I won't speak to you by doctrine. Well, who gives us this authority to herald Christ, to proclaim Christ? Now, pagans believed, and I guess they still do, believed heralds were messengers to the gods, given power and protected by these gods. We who know Christ, we who proclaim Christ do so with the full authority of God himself. Peter says we preach with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. What? The gospel that's revealed unto us. And we preach with that Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. And when what we're preaching, the angels stoop down and try to see what it's about. Huh? And I tell you, I know this, and I've tried my best not to do this. We aren't to give our beliefs or our opinions. So if you're going to give an opinion or something, just say, I'll stop preaching and tell you what I think about it. And then go back to preaching. But what we mean, beloved, we want the scriptures to speak. I was listening to Bob Coffey's, one of his messages from here today. And that Bob says, I don't want to worry you out turning to scriptures, but I want you to see. And they went to scripture, to scripture, to scripture. Well, you know why we do that and why they do that? Let the scriptures say what this. Let the scriptures speak. Let the scriptures speak. And men can see then that our message clearly comes from the scriptures. From the scriptures. So their faith will stand in the wisdom of God. Our faith, you know, that's why when we look at the scriptures, I can say, Jehovah's Witnesses come out the house the other day. Two men. Knock on the door. I seen them with their little watchtowers, you know, and told them who I was and how long I'd been. Well, can we sat? He said, Whitley, can I ask you this? Do you believe God causes all suffering in this world? I said, there ain't nothing happens in this world without God. He said, would you let us show you that Satan's the cause of everything bad that happens in this world? I said, no, you can't. I said, I don't want to hear anything to say about it. I just shut the door. I didn't even let, they stayed outside. They didn't even get in the garage. If God's not ruling this world, who is? If Satan is out from under the control of God, well, then I tell you, the first thing he'd do is he'd kill every believer on the face of the earth. He'd wipe out the church. If he could, that'd be the first thing he'd want to do is wipe out the church. But, oh, listen, we want people to see clearly from the scriptures what our message is. And our faith will stand in the wisdom of God, what thus saith the Lord. And, oh, let me tell you this, and I'll wind her down. A herald, I told you, a proclaimer, a proclamation. He'd go between a war and armies and factions. And he'd take the terms of this general here over to this general. This general here would send his reply back. And they'd go back and forth like that. They would take the terms of surrender to a defeated foe. And that's what we do. We proclaim our Lord Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's defeated every foe. He's defeated every enemy. There's nothing can stand up to him. Nothing can defeat him. He's done whipped everything that's against us. Everything that was contrary to us, he took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. And so now we proclaim, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Repent and believe. And what is repentance? It's a change of mind. And oh, what a change of mind it is. When a man starts repenting, a repentance that don't need be repented of is, his mind starts changing dramatically. In fact, the first thing it does, it turns on itself. It starts turning on itself. His mind turns on itself and says, oh, boy, you're a mess. And then it turns to the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that can clean up the mess. Repent and believe. And I tell you what, the gospel calls for total, absolute surrender. Surrender. It gives you no options. There ain't no getting, you know, it's either bow or perish. That's just the way it is. Gospel calls for absolute, total surrender. And it tells us to submit to the righteousness of God in Christ. To submit to the righteousness of Christ, who is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. We have no righteousness, so we have to submit to the righteousness of Christ. Now, I tell you, I'd gladly answer any questions any sinners has. But I'll never, ever debate over the terms of the truth of the gospel. We're not negotiators. We're not trying to talk anybody into anything. We're proclaiming things, telling things. We're not negotiators. We're not negotiating between sinners and Christ. No, we tell men, bow, submit, surrender. And man must come to Christ, and I'll tell you this, we all do it. We all got to do it. We got to come to Christ on His terms. On His terms. And in coming, they'll see that He's infinitely, infinitely more gracious than they ever dreamed. Oh, our Lord Jesus, you go through the Gospels. And you know, Every time somebody said they was going to follow him, he put an obstacle in their way. And if anybody left, you'd turn around and say, I guess you're going to go with them. And I tell you what, it's absolute surrender. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, we thank you for the gospel. Lord, never let us give an uncertain sound. And Lord, oh God, help us please to always honor and magnify our Lord Jesus and decrease to where absolutely nothing and Christ is all. Lord, bless this message. God, only you can. We leave it with you. You'll do with it what you will. You'll do with it as seemeth good in your sight. In our Lord Jesus' name we bless you. Amen. Amen. There is